Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I just got back from a long overseas trip.
That's right. You were in Ireland.
I was. We last talked sitting on a balcony in Anaheim.
Seems so long ago.
Yeah, really.
It wasn't really that long ago, I guess.
It was like a week and a couple of days.
Yeah, that's... how was Ireland?
It was good. It was good. I'm not going to complain. That is a great conference. The old conference is a great conference. And in a fantastic venue. It's in this like five-star resort hotel, basically, out in the southwestern corner of Ireland and County Kerry and in Killarney. And we all rode out on much of the conference and the speakers and stuff rode out in the same car on the same train. So that's a kind of a fun journey to and from. And beautiful location there. And I brought my wife with me this time, brought Lauren with me. And after telling her the last two times, like, it's really great, you should come sometime. And she finally took me up on it. And she had a good time, too. So, yeah, everybody had a good time. And we went to that waterfall that you've been to before.
Yeah, I was looking at that when you took that picture. And, in fact, I'm using photo search right now to see if it can find a picture of the same waterfall. I think this might be it. What does this say? My photo is before geotagging. Like, I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a smartphone when I went because it was 2005. So pre-iPhone.
The Torque Waterfall.
Well, here, I'll tell you what. I'll send you I'll text you a picture and you can tell me if it looks like the same waterfall.
TripAdvisor.
It's from Ireland. It's definitely in Ireland.
TripAdvisor tells me it's the number 8 of 106 things to do in Killarney.
Killarney is lovely. I have definitely been there, so I suspect it is the same one.
All right.
Although I've never been to the UL conference, but I have been to Ireland. So
yeah,
there's that.
That's pretty great. I mean, this is my fourth straight year going to Ireland, which is weird because I'd never been there before, and now I've been there four straight years. But it's pretty good. I like it. It's nice. It's a Dublin is a nice city, very walkable. We walked around all day Saturday and went to Dublin Castle and went to there's a library there with lots of very old books and other printed material, which is a lot of fun, like scrolls and papyrus from all over the world. Especially it's got a huge Asian and Middle Eastern collection. So that was pretty sweet. I liked that a lot. Went to the Guinness storehouse because you kind
of
got to do that.
Naturally.
But we were there we got up to the top, the restaurant, or I guess it's just a drinking area on the top of the storehouse at sunset. So that was pretty great.
Nice. Good timing.
It was all good. And we had some nice meals. Went to I took Lauren to this pub that I went to with James Thompson and Mike Hurley last year before UL. And it's actually around the corner from... I'd been there before because it's around the corner from the hotel where we were staying for an IDG thing the year before that, and I'd been in there with German and Paul from UL, so I took her in there because it's just like it's a super steamy, hot, crowded pub full of Irish people drinking beer. And
traditional.
And it was like, this is the stuff. I just wanted to have that little experience too. So yeah, it was a great time. It was weird to... It's always weird when you're an independent person to go away for a week. Thank you for keeping the lights on at Six Colors, because I would be like, oh, Dan posted something. Thank God for that. Every now and then I'd be like, oh, there's nothing. Am I gonna write something? And then I would see. So I only had to write a couple of things. Although I did write and posted yesterday from the plane. Cost me $10 to post that story, but I did my review.
worth every penny.
My review. Well, behind the scenes would be that I have this concern that people are going to have, even though I haven't gotten the Touch Bar MacBook Pro, it would not surprise me if some people have. I was out of the country last week, so if they had had one for me, I wouldn't have been able to get it.
Sure.
So yeah. I feel like there are probably reviews of those coming soon on an embargo. I don't know that for sure. That's just my guess, and I kind of wanted to get my review of the last one out, even though it was late. Because I was traveling, I kind of turned it into a story a little bit about traveling with it, because I traveled with that 13-inch MacBook Pro with the function keys instead of the Touch Bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it'll be interesting, but I agree. I think those are probably in the offing. because Apple obviously didn't have them at the event, and they've been
kind
of quiet about when they said they were shipping. What, a couple weeks?
Yeah, I think there are review units that are going out, but I don't know about embargoes or anything, and I don't have one yet. I think I sent them an email saying I can come by, pick one
exactly.
up.
I can drop by if anytime. You got an extra laptop.
But that
feel
hasn't,
free.
That
let
hasn't
me know
worked yet. Yet.
Well, you know, interesting that late on Friday, and we record this on Monday, which is much earlier in the week than we usually do.
But you're going away.
I am going away. Late on Friday, when you bury news, Apple announced that they were doing substantial discounts to many of the adapters in their store that are more or less required for a lot of the new MacBook Pros, since they only have USB-C / Thunderbolt 3 ports. So they discounted a number of adapters and a number of accessories as well, including pretty substantive discounts on those LG displays that they just announced.
Yeah. Under $1,000 for
striking.
Those.
I know, under $1,000 for the big one. Yeah. Like, you know, and that was
5K, yeah.
That was a $1,300 display prior to that discount. And, you know, that's an interesting move, right? Because, you know, Apple, of course, made displays for a long time, and their displays were generally considered very nice, but overpriced, let's say, or at least priced much more than the competitive displays. And so it's interesting to see that now that they've made this deal, at least they feel they're confident enough that they feel like they can discount them through the end of the year, at least. And maybe part of that is to entice people to buying the MacBook Pros. Then again, they also claim that the new MacBook Pro is like the best, most ordered computer. You always have to parse those statements very carefully. But they said something about the most popular MacBook Pro ever ordered. I can't remember what Schiller's exact words were, but they implied they were selling like hotcakes, or at least being ordered like hotcakes. I don't know how one orders hotcakes. I usually just say hotcakes.
Send
please.
Me some hotcakes, and first. Then we'll and then bring them to me when they're hot.
Keep so I guess it's the question is that's been on a lot of people's minds is whether this is sort of a damage control move for their part, or rather is it just a way to soften the blow or entice people into saying like, look, this isn't that big a deal. We're going to give you a little bit of a break if you're an early adopter.
I mean, that's all damage control, though, isn't it?
Sure. That's fair. I guess that's fair.
I mean, we did upgrade earlier today, and that's what I said is just, you know, damage control. It's damage control.
I tend to agree.
And an inducement, I mean, it's to maybe to turn the story a little bit to like, can we calm them down a little? And also, can we maybe induce people to buy into this by making, because it's only through the end of the year, right? So it's like, if you want to get that external monitor,
if you're the early adopter, you want to get them at a good price too, right? Like that definitely is more compelling to say, hey, you can buy one of those new MacBook Pros and a monitor for much cheaper than you might otherwise be able to.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if it addresses some of the bigger concerns, but you know, I don't know. I've been doing this long enough, and you've been doing this long enough. People freak out when Apple takes things away off of whether it's ports or slots or whatever, or changes formats. Like, people freak out and they get angry and they claim that they're going to rage quit. And I don't want to say that people who have complaints about the MacBook Pros, I don't want to make it seem like all of the complaints aren't valid, because that's not true. But I gotta say, I've seen this before. Their cooler heads will probably prevail. I get people's rage, but first off, a percentage of the people who are saying I'll never buy this and I'm going to switch to Windows, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're not going
to
do that.
You still have to use Windows ultimately, and that's I think the bigger impediment there.
And the fallacy of the argument of like, oh, Apple, you know, Apple blew it because people are saying they're going to leave the platform. It's like, you know, Apple makes choices and they're opinionated. You know, they make opinionated products. They really do. They have a point of view, and that means that they're gonna turn people away. That was my thesis for the MacBook, and it's true of the MacBook Pro. It's like, you know, it's not Apple's job to make everybody happy. And in this case, they may have made. Sorry, I'm repeating some of the stuff from Upgrade today, but I mean, it's like, in some ways, they may have made a bad calculation here, but maybe not. Right. Maybe not. Maybe it's just like it's an acceptable an acceptable amount of change and a number of people who'll be disaffected is small enough. I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that people are frustrated that they feel like Apple hasn't sent enough signal about how committed they are to the Mac because the Mac Pro hasn't been updated. And I suspect that that is what's really exacerbating this and making it maybe worse than a port transition and a RAM limitation would be in another context.
I was thinking how funny it is that we've heard the furor over the headphone jack on the iPhone 7, or lack thereof, has really died down as we've moved on to the next piece of outrage. And honestly, you know, having been using that for a while now, I've kind of just gotten used to the adapter thing. I know some people who still are frustrated by it, but it really hasn't been that big a deal. You know, and as you said, we've seen this cycle before. Apple likes to push the envelope forward, and I think, yeah, I guess, you know, the argument that they could have left a single USB port on there for sort of legacy purposes, yeah, they could have. I feel like in some ways, you know, that means then you have a legacy port that you're stuck with forever for the life of that computer, and at a certain point, you'll probably just be like, man, I really don't need that port anymore. It's too bad it's there.
Yeah.
It won't drive the adoption the same way, right? If you feel like, oh, I don't need to buy anything new or upgrade my equipment or buy adapters because I still have this USB port, then the question is, do the vendors move as fast to make new versions that work with the new ports? Do you hasten to replace your peripherals or buy adapters or what? And I kind of get Apple's point that sometimes you just need to rip the Band-Aid off.
I like Gruber's piece that he wrote. Again, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before about this same thing. You know, it's new ports. Like the new ports, the old ports go away fast. So building a transitional fossil, you know, I get it, but at the same time, Gruber's piece was exactly dead on, which is if we put no old ports on it, everybody will get new stuff and new adapters and we'll move on. But as long as we keep legacy ports on these things, people will just not bother. Right. And, you know, that's not a game Apple has ever wanted to play, and they're not playing it here. And that's how it is. I am much more in tune with the people who are complaining about this thing because it doesn't have a high max RAM amount because they chose a different chipset because they wanted the battery. I mean, Apple had its reasons, right? But I get that of like, you know, well, why can't we upgrade the RAM beyond 16 gigs? Now, we could have a discussion about how many people legitimately need more RAM than that, because I sometimes think that computer users get in this. It's the old expansion slots thing. Is I want expansion slots. Will you ever use them? Well, no.
But I want to know they're there.
I want to know they're there, right? But still, I can see that argument, and I can see the argument that the GPU in it is mediocre. It's fine, but it's not top of the line or close to it. And that and then I think underlying all that is too this fear, like, and then this is the platform we're going to be stuck with for 3 years because Apple doesn't seem motivated to update these things very often.
Right, and as you pointed out, in a situation where they also haven't updated the Pro. The desktop Pro, you know, this seems like this is what you get. Take it or leave it, which I can understand people being frustrated for. Because if at the same time they'd come out with an updated Mac Pro and said, you know, it's expandable to 64 gigabytes of RAM or whatever, 128 gigabytes of RAM, you know, everyone would be like, well, okay, but at least I have the option, right? Like, I can go over there. I might still opt for a MacBook Pro because I want the portability. But, you know, I know that if I really need RAM, if that's like the biggest like issue for me, then I can always buy a Mac Pro. But because this is sort of, for better or worse, the only Pro product they're really selling right now, I can understand people, especially who are in that market of needing more than 16 gigabytes of RAM, to feel frustrated.
Yeah, right. The frustration, I get it. I get it. There's just this question of like, So I get that more than like the port thing. It's like, just buy an adapter, right? Just get over it. I know it sucks. It happens. It's progress. If you can't do it, don't buy this computer. Wait it out. But at some point, you had to move to USB if you've been using a computer for the last, whatever, 10 years, 15 years. It happens. It happens. It happens. You have to move to USB, and you have to move to FireWire, and then you have to move from FireWire to Thunderbolt, and it's endless. It goes back to SCSI and, you know, serial and whatever. It's 20, 30 years of this. It just happens. So that part, I don't have a big problem with. But yeah, I mean, I get it. There are, look, we're in a Slack group where there's a discussion going on right now among a couple of people I won't name, between these two people especially, about the inappropriateness of existing Mac hardware for game development. And I saw somebody link to a thread on Twitter about somebody who is frustrated for Macs from a gaming machine perspective. And those are the sort of things where I have to say, I get that this is important to you. Not sure it's important to Apple. Like, I'm just not sure. I don't think Apple cares if people develop games on the Mac or for the Mac, quite honestly. I other than iOS games. But like PC games, I just don't think they care. Oh, I don't think they've ever cared.
They've never cared.
Right?
I mean,
and so they're not going to make platform decisions that make their computers heavier and bigger because
the Mac
there
has
are
never been a choice for gaming.
Because there are 1,000 people that they're going to lose if they don't. I mean, they're just never going to do that.
I mean, no. if you're still buying a Mac as a gaming machine right now, I am amazed that you have held on. Like, you know, they've been pretty clear over the last 20 years, like, this is not a priority for us, right? Like, everybody who was buying a Mac for a gaming machine, they left a long time ago. Yes, you might have a Mac and also play some games on it, but, you know, the ones who haven't gone to the PC or to consoles, like, I don't know that those people even exist. Because it's not as if titles come out for the... Most titles don't come out for the Mac at all. Ever. So, you know, why would you be buying a Mac as a gaming machine in this day and age? It doesn't make any sense. So the GPU thing, I guess, for if you're doing some sort of software that requires you to, you know, render graphics, like you're developing games, okay, that's definitely a reason to have a powerful GPU, but nobody's buying this for a gaming machine.
Yeah. But this is, I feel like there's some aspect of this is a bring out your grievances. It's the airing of grievances around the Festivus poll kind of thing. And it's fine, but it's just, it's the psychology. Part of this is just me being jaded. And again, I'm not trying to say that criticism of what Apple's doing here is wrong, but I'm have to say that there is a big ball of criticism of what Apple's doing here. And there's a percentage of that is valid, I think, to a degree. And then there's the stuff that just happens every time. And it's a mistake if you look at the whole big ball and say, whoa, look, they really blew this. Because it's like, did they really? Did Apple really blow it? Or did Apple make certain users who are already on edge even more on edge or frustrated because of decisions that they made that in the grand scheme of things won't be that big a deal? I think it's interesting, and I think if Apple had handled the last couple of years on the Mac better and done more updating, I mean, that's what it comes down to. I don't understand why Apple doesn't do a better job of releasing products when Intel releases new chips. I don't know whether it's pride. I don't know whether they have to retask teams on timelines that are not connected to Intel. It's not like they don't know what Intel's doing,
right,
and they don't know
right.
what Intel is shipping. So why don't they just task their Mac people to keep that stuff? I mean, when you have a new system, I totally get it. And it may be that these MacBook Pros, especially, like, just they were waiting and they weren't ready. And so they let them sit there. But it's like in the average sort of course of things, why don't they just update their stuff a lot? And maybe that in the background, the Mac Pro is laying dead for 3 years. Maybe because this was a theory that I've heard some people float that, you know, that the GPU heavy Mac Pro trash can thing was kind of a flop. Like the GPUs failed, and GPUs as processing enhancements didn't really take off. OpenCL really didn't take off. And so it's kind of a loser, and they're going to do a new Mac Pro, and they haven't yet. And now they've got some chip issues with Intel. And so they're not saying anything because they can't say anything, or they feel they can't say anything. But that's on them, because they could do something other than cut $10 off the price of an adapter if they wanted to send a message to this portion of their market.
Right. Well, they did this, and they've done this before. I mean, as we were talking about, you know, they've said, you know, in the past, we're going to have something for pro users, for example, right? Like, coming down the pipe, we don't have anything to announce today, but, like, it's going to happen. You know, that's still really important to us. And that they've, you know, they've signaled right in the past before the last update, and there's been just nothing. And that's, I think, part of the frustration too, right? Is it wouldn't have cost them much to say, you know what, we don't have anything to announce for the Pro desktop today, but we're working on something. We think you'll really like it, but it's not ready yet.
Right?
Like, they did that. That's all. That's all they need to do. And they've done
that with
before.
The Mac Pro, right?
Yeah,
they did it with
I'm
the Mac
saying.
Pro. So our Pro users are going to be really happy next year.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's all they said.
They weren't, but you know they you said know. It at least.
Well, and then they did the Mac Pro preview in like June, and then they didn't ship it until December. I mean, it was
it clearly was a difficult to engineer product.
Well, that's why I think and that may be why they're not talking about it, right? I mean, there is I can see rational reasons why Apple has behaved the way it has. I may not agree with them in this little fictionalized version that I've got in my head, but I can see how if you got bit by the Mac Pro and you decided to kill it and replace it with something that wasn't going to be as weird and non-standard as the trash can, and you were working on it, but it wasn't ready, and then there were Intel chip changes, and you change your I can get that, and saying, look, last time we did this, you know, and pre-announced a Mac Pro change, look what happened. It's like, let's just not do that this time. I get it,
right?
But everybody's really nervous now.
Yeah, exactly, and that leads to people, you know, wondering if the Mac Pro is just dead.
I mean, that's Marco Arment's post was he was like, it's looking increasingly likely that the Mac Pro is going to be killed. It's like, I don't see any increase in likeliness. I feel like we are in a void. We continue to be in a void with the Mac Pro where it's a, like, you ask the magic eight ball and it just says reply hazy. Like, we don't know.
It's in a medical coma. You get that little beep.
I mean, Marco himself has argued that the Intel, the Xeons that they would probably use in the Mac Pro for the next one aren't ready until like maybe mid next year or something. I get a little frustrated. It's like, well, then release an update with the old ones. Just get something out there. Yeah. But I don't know. I think what Mac users are saying is, from the evidence here, we don't really understand how you view the Mac. And although there's a new Mac Pro now, and that's interesting, what about the rest of this? Send us a sign, you know, give us a little bit of a signal. And Apple is resistant to give them a signal. And it's totally frustrating, right? I mean, if the Mac Pro is dead, just say so. I don't think it's dead, right? Because I think they would say so. I think they have a plan for...
They bring it out in a little coffin, a la Steve Jobs.
Exactly. I think the 5K display from LG... I was listening to ATP from last week, and John Syracuse is like, this makes it less likely that there'll be a new Mac Pro. And I'm like, really? Because I kind of think the opposite. I feel like it makes it more likely, because once you have worked with a company to make a snazzy 5K display that works with your USB-C ports, and you're about to turn your entire line over to USB-C Thunderbolt 3, then... you probably will have a traditional-ish desktop that attaches to that thing at some point.
I don't agree with the less likely. I think that I agree with your view on that seems to make more sense to me.
I think it's more likely.
I mean, because the only other reasons for that, I mean, yes, you might hook it up to a MacBook Pro, you might hook it up to a Mac Mini, or even an iMac, I guess. But like,
yeah, I mean, the new iMac
monitors.
But yeah, right. It makes sense. It's like, in fact, you wouldn't release a Mac Pro until you had that monitor.
Right, because what are you going to connect it to?
Exactly, right? And you want to be able to connect to a big 5K display. That's what you want. So that's what you're working toward. And it's not a holiday product, right? I mean, I can, you know, the Intel chips maybe aren't there.
Yeah.
It's not a holiday product. You want to get that display out there. And then all of a sudden, here we are in 2017 when we'll have a great story for the Mac Pro, but they won't say it.
I'm going to put my flag in the ground and say WWC next year, we at least get a preview of it. That's what I'm doing now. I'm going to prognosticate.
I think it's a developers conference.
It's a good time to do it.
What I hear about the chips, the Intel chips, it may be even like it could ship then. But who knows? I mean, it sounded very mid-year, so maybe it's announced, but it's a close announce kind of thing where it's a month out or something. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I remain optimistic because I don't see any evidence that the Mac Pro is dying. I just see that Apple has made a couple of bad bets that have come back to bite them, and now they're like stuck kind of trying to get their act back together, and they're too proud to say that. So instead they say nothing. That's going to be my operating again. Never, I don't mean incompetence here, but never expect bad behavior or malfeasance to be the explanation when incompetence could be an explanation. It's a little bit like that. It's like, I don't think Apple's got a plot to kill the Mac Pro here. I think Apple just made a sequence of, in hindsight, bad decisions. That's my theory.
They don't need a plot. It's a product. They can just stop making it whenever they want.
Right? Right. Well, I think number one reason the Mac Pro isn't dead is that they haven't said that it's dead. Why would they keep a 3-year-old thing on their website if they never intended to update it? Why would
they do that?
They would have discontinued it.
Yeah, when they killed the display.
The Thunderbolt display.
They would have said, also the Mac Pro, bye, sorry.
Yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. So that signals their intent to do something that's a follow-on for the Mac Pro or update that Mac Pro, one of those. And so it's going to happen. I would just say I get why everybody's upset. Everything's heightened. But I think if you're a Mac user and you care about the platform, I think it's probably going to be okay. I don't think Apple wants the Mac to die. I think they're going to release new products. The Mac's never going to be their priority because it's 13% of their business. But it's a profitable business. It's a big business. And I do think that it's not going anywhere and that there will be a Mac Pro or a follow-on for the Mac Pro soon, probably early next year.
Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, as they say.
Yeah, so, yeah. And the only increasingly likely that the Mac Pro will die is time, I guess. Like, the longer it goes, the less
time
likely it is to come back.
Things, Jason.
But I don't believe that. So in this case, time comes for us all. I don't think the increasing amount of time is evidence of that. In fact, at this point, I would say it turned the corner. It's one of those things where something's funny and then it's not funny and then it's funny again. It's a little like that. It's like after a couple of years without changing the Mac Pro, I think it becomes evidence that the Mac Pro will get an update because, like I said, otherwise they would just have it go to a farm upstate and they'd be done with it. Like, it's only available to our enterprise customers, and basically you have to ask, otherwise you don't get it.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
I don't know. This is a funny subject because it has really inflamed the passions of a whole lot of people who we work with and whose work we respect. And we don't all agree on this. And I think that's what happens when passions are inflamed like this. Like, everybody's, sure. Because people care. I mean, Marco, I agree with almost everything Marco wrote in his piece, because his piece is essentially like why the Mac Pro should still exist. And I think he's right. And I think that he's supplied a very good piece of evidence for whoever is the advocate for the Mac Pro inside Apple to say, see, I think that's good. And I think that that's why he wrote it. And I think it has a chance to make a difference there. I really do. Because that's when pieces we write make a difference, it's usually not because Apple reads the piece we write and goes, oh, you know, those guys are right, we should do that. It's because there's an argument happening inside Apple and one side sees a piece of editorial that fits with their worldview and says, see this? This is, you know, and it gives them a little bit of an advantage. That's what that kind of stuff is good for. So I think it's great that Marco wrote that. That said, I find some of the despondency about the Mac from Marco and from John Siracusa, who says he might not even want to buy the perfect Mac Pro for him because he doesn't like the look of the LG monitor. It's just like, I'm baffled by that stuff. But, you know, people, what you gonna do? I love those guys, but we can't always agree on everything.
Well, we're also within a specific bubble of people that are very focused on that, right? Doesn't matter to the average Mac user.
Oh, God, no. Well, I mean, the Mac Pro doesn't matter to the average Mac user.
The MacBook Pro, probably, the changes to the MacBook Pro, I think, similarly, don't matter as much to the average Mac user.
No, I mean, do you think Apple made that product not knowing who buys MacBook Pros? I would argue that they know exactly who that product is for, and that that product is for people who don't need more than 16 gigs of RAM, and the GPU is fine because they're not building 3D stuff and they're not playing games on it, and that, you know, they know that market. And I think some of the understandable frustration is people who feel like they're on the outside. They are not in Apple's target market anymore, if they ever were. And it sucks when that happens, when a vendor of a product comes out with a new version and they're like, yeah, that thing that you liked, like when they took podcasting out of GarageBand, right? All the people who use GarageBand for podcasts are like, what the
hell? I'm still angry about it.
It's
but it's a music program.
It's not for you.
That's not who I am. Yeah. Well, but I, you know, and as ever, you know, not to get too much into the psychology of the Apple consumer, but so many of those people were also, you know, people who are long-term diehard Mac people, right? And so it feels doubly galling when it's like, but I was there for you in the hard times, in the down eras. I stuck with you all the way through, and this is my reward. I always think of my one of my favorite scenes from Field of Dreams,
where Kevin Costner, James Earl Jones, gets invited to go into the cornfield with the baseball players. And Kevin Costner says, yeah, I did all this. I listened to you. I built the field. I did this. I never once asked, what's in it for me? What are you asking, Ray? I'm saying, what's in it for me?
Also, hey, Apple, we should say that. Apple is something that people are passionate about.
No.
So that, no, people don't care. Whatever.
It's not true.
Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. So that's part of this too, is that people care about this stuff. And like undercutting, or not undercutting, underlying all of this is the, God, Apple, do not shirk the Mac because I don't want to use Windows. And I totally get that, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, at this point, just like I had that realization that I may not buy another Mac laptop because I like doing stuff on my iPad, I also have come to a realization that, yeah, I'm never... for me to use Windows would require both the Mac and the iPad to disappear because I would just switch to iPad only before I would switch to Windows at this point. It's just,
sure.
I'm not interested in that. I'm not at all interested in that. But so I think that's some of it too, is like fear of abandonment. Like, don't make me do this. And if you're somebody who's like doing 3D game development or something like that, like you can't go to the iPad. You have to go to Windows if you're not already there. And yeah, it's just, I get it though. That's Apple... makes people passionate, and there are a lot of people who use the Mac and love it, and the last thing they want to do is not be able to use it anymore because of decisions Apple made. And that's totally valid. I mean, I have some criticisms about how some of this stuff has been received, but I'm not going to invalidate anybody's feelings, right? I like totally get why people are feeling the way they are about this.
Yep, I agree. Well, we've got a lot to look forward to, I think.
Yeah, so time for you to flee the country.
It is. It's about that time for me to flee the country.
Yeah.
Which I shall do in roughly a little over 24 hours.
Yeah.
A little over 24 hours.
I think Election Day is a good day to leave.
You know, I think it is. And I get
a lot of
options about whether or not I get to come back.
Well, we'll see.
But I'm looking forward to, I just picked up today a pair of the Bose wireless Bluetooth noise canceling headphones for my, I figured I'm taking enough long plane trips in the next couple months to make that worthwhile. So I'm very excited to give those a try out. They don't even require a lightning adapter. So isn't that great?
Yeah. I hear wireless is the future.
I hear it is. It seems, you know what? No one ever really liked wires. Yeah, they worked really well, but I don't think people were like, more wires. That is what we need. I think people are just, you know, that's the way we've always done things. It's another one of those transitions. And there are advantages to them. No, you know, they are certainly more reliable in a lot of circumstances. But, you know, you spend enough time yanking things around by wires by accident, and you think, why do we have these?
Yeah, I brought my good old wired headphones with me to Europe, and I got my little adapter, mm-hmm. and I kept moving from like my phone to my iPad or to the portable recorder, and it was like, unplug the adapter, replug the adapter. I ended up leaving the adapter, the headphone jack
just
adapter,
into the iPhone?
Plugged into the iPhone. Yeah,
yep, I do that too.
And it's stupid.
Although you can plug it into your iPad too if you feel like
it. I can.
It.
That's true. I thought about doing that, but then you know, yeah, it's silly. It's fine.
It is silly.
Whatever.
It is silly. Someday they'll release headphones that I guess you can plug into your Mac again.
Sure.
For Apple, yeah. That's right now. Super weird.
Yeah. All right, well, we did one. Surprise, surprise. So thanks to everybody out there for subscribing. We appreciate it. And we don't know quite when we'll be back with Dan and me together because travel.
Travel indeed. Sometime soon, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't think it'll be too long.
Yeah, good. All right, thanks to everybody out there for listening and subscribing. We appreciate it. You keep the lights on here when Dan, and sometimes Dan keeps the lights on when I'm gone. But
they're smart lights. It's okay.
They are. They're smart lights. That's right. Hey, lady, turn on the smart lights. No, that's not the thing. All right. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.